Nehemiah 4:7 and 8 says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very angry." Yeah. See, the devil's mad when he see you making progress. Yeah, there'll be people around you when they see you making progress. Most people have a crawfish mentality. That when they see you about to crawl over, you know, about to move into another arena, they reach right up and pull you down and say, "You ain't going nowhere. Stay in the bucket with us." You understand? There are people around you. So you have to discern people around you that are hindering you. People that are always tempting you to do wrong. People that are always taking you in the wrong direction. People that's always, amen, introducing things to you that get you out of sorts, that rob you of your peace.
KAYT and KQJOFF. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock. Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. Romans chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. One of the things that I'm grateful for is the word that God continually gives us insight and understanding as we seek Him. The Spirit of God gives us new illumination, so that no matter how much you have read this word, when you desire to seek Him, He takes you deeper and deeper into the truths and treasures of His holy word. So don't write this off as if you already know it all and everything there is to know about it. Just walk with us, if you don't mind. Romans 4, chapter, 4th chapter and verse 21 and 22. "And being fully persuaded that He who had promised was able also to perform." Listen. "And therefore imputed it to him for righteousness." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. I want to talk about fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Some of us, in certain instances of our lives, have been persuaded about this or about that. But many instances in life where we needed a full persuasion to somehow evoke the presence and the power of God in our situations, we have not been totally convinced nor convicted to have this testimony that we are fully persuaded. What I think I need to start off by saying is the fact that when one is fully persuaded, it means that they are assured confidently and convinced concretely that that is what it is, and that it cannot be changed, or at least changed in their minds. When you talk about a fully persuaded person, it is a person who has had the experience experientially to have gone through things, to have known things, to have seen God at work, and know his handiwork and understand the ways of God, the principle of God, the power of God, so that they are able to operate in full confidence of God's assurance in the way that God himself does things. One of the reasons why it's important to know the Word of God is to understand the will of God. To know the will of God is to understand the way of God. And when you know the way of God, then you'll know what is God and what is not of God. And you will handle things in a way, very confidently so, that God himself will approve of and give support to. So being fully persuaded must have its roots in the Word of God. Somebody say, have its roots in the Word of God. Now listen, anything that you're doing, anything that God has said, anything that God has promised has its roots in his Word. In other words, God will not chance telling you anything he does not have already founded. One of the ways I know it's God is because I can open up the Bible and point to it right there. When some people come and say, well, the Lord told me to tell you. And I look in the Word, and God ain't told nobody else that before. And he's going to trust you to come and tell me what he's never told anyone else before, I've got issues with. I've got issues with, not that God can't do it, but it's not rooted in the way that he operates. And then one of the things that God will do is his Spirit will give me an understanding, an inkling, a pronouncement before to confirm when you say what you have to say that I'll know it's God. God just has certain ways he operates that gives us the knowledge of knowing it's God. And then when he does that underneath my skin, there is a confident confirmation of God in this process. Well, one of the things that we all know is this story about Abraham. Abram in the beginning, who was a heathen, but God found favor in him. And he told him at 75 years old to leave, you know, his father's house, his father's land, his kinfolk, etc., and go to where God would tell him. This is the explanation of the promise and faith in verse 17 right above. And then it is in verse 18 where Abraham gets an expectation of the promise that God's going to make him a father of many nations, etc. And he expects that. Now expectation has entered his heart, but it has entered his heart by faith. By faith. He's taking God's word at what God said. And he never dreamt of being father of many nations. He had issues with being a father, period. But the word of God can inspire and evoke faith in us. That's one of the reasons, again, why the enemy does not want us to hear the word, why the enemy does not want us to be in Sunday school, Bible study, devotional readings, the study of the word, be anywhere where there is a true going forth of the word, because when the word goes forth, it does something underneath the skin to the hearer and to the believer. And so it stirs up and it prepares you for expectation. And so Abraham developed expectation. But then verse 19 deals with examination, because he looked at his body and he looked at his age and he looked at Sarah and her age and her body, and he recognized that fate, F-A-T-E, had dealt them a bad hand, and faith, F-A-I-T-H, was able to override that. Right. And so he recognized that though he was old, though Sarah's womb was dead, meaning that there was never ever any potential for productivity, even as a young woman. Her womb was dead. It wasn't dying, it was dead. And yet, the examination of the natural was not enough to keep him from believing what God had spoken to him. The word produced faith. That word that God spoke to him, that promise God made to him, produced faith in him. That faith produced expectation in him, so that when he examined everything, and that's important because one of the things you're going to know is that when there is expectation in you, you are going to look at what you're working with. You're going to look at what you have. You're going to look at what you don't have. And sometimes what you don't have will not equal up to what God says you will have. But here's where you come into this understanding. It's not you who's going to make it happen, but God. Your job is to believe that it will happen. You have got to attach your faith to what God has said and hold on to it. Listen, when you get through examining all of the issues, the parts and the pieces that go with the situation, and it does not look favorable, what you've got to do is go back to what God said and recognize that he knows far more than you know. And listen, he made the promise. Now, when you know he made the promise, it's an exciting thing because he will bring it to pass. I said, when he made the promise, he will bring it to pass. Listen, when you examine, and you got to do that periodically, because one of the things examination does is it plots your progress. It helps you in the course of time and action understand where you are, how closer you are or not to what God said will happen. Listen, I'm so close to getting 2020 vision. Till I woke up this morning and Leah turned on the light and I looked at her and saw her as clear as day. Wait, hold on. But somebody might say, but it was just my imagination. No, but it was an examination. I could not tell whether it was real or not for a few seconds. I looked at her and the tears started flowing and she looked at me like, it's going to be all right. I said, I know it is. And she's looking at me like, you all right? And I was saying, I was trying to tell her, I see you just as clear as day. Listen, however, I honestly could not tell whether it was in the flesh or in the spirit. But because I know it's coming soon, it felt like it was already here to stay. I got so excited. I'm like, hurry up. We got to get to church. Hurry up. The rain was coming down, and it was like, I don't care. Let's hurry. I got to tell somebody what the Lord has done for me. And listen, my brothers and sisters. And so we move to verse 20 where he said, he staggered not. God promised he'd restore my sight. That's a promise. I'm holding on to it. I'm not staggering at the promise, because listen at this. That was a time for several months when I could not see a thing. Nothing. Nobody. Nothing but blackness. And he has already brought me from that point. I'm talking about, listen, if he don't do no more. But the problem is, he's already done this, and this is on the way to that. Y'all ain't hearing me yet. So I got no reason not to doubt God. I wouldn't doubt him, because he's already shown me too much. And so he didn't stagger at the promises of God, but was strengthened. And listen to this. This is exaltation in verse 20. And he gave God glory. I understand that. I understand that. When you see God at work doing what nothing and no one else could do, and he does it for you, you can't help but give him glory. And so these verses were the introduction to what I was going to say. Verse 21 now. And being fully persuaded. This is the confirmation, because what it's saying was, after I've been through all that I've been through, if I would have been otherwise minded, I could not be fully persuaded. In other words, if I had any doubts in my mind at this point, what God could do, what God would do, then it would not suffice me to be able to know that he could bring to pass what he promised. But being fully persuaded, convinced and assured concretely that God has the power to do what he said he will do. He made the promise. Not me. He called my attention to his word. Not me. He wanted me to understand what he wanted to do for me. And so understanding that, to be fully persuaded, means the devil can close up his trick bag. To be fully persuaded means if he want to keep on playing the game, he can try whatever he wants to try. But when it's all said and done, I still believe the Lord. Being fully persuaded means that I've been through enough with the Lord to know that he's not a man that he should lie. Being fully persuaded means that God means what he says, and he says what he means. Being fully persuaded means that if I delight myself in him, he'll give me the desires of my heart. Being fully persuaded in him gives me the ability to know that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Being fully persuaded gives me the authority of his word to rest my hope and belief on. He that had promised, listen, was able also to perform. You know, some people have made some promises, but they can't perform. And I might be talking about you, but you've ever had that experience? You promised some folks something, and you couldn't perform? I've been there. I've done that. I've had that problem. I've had folk make promises to me and they couldn't perform. But isn't it good to know that he who promised, not was, but is, able to perform? When you take a closer look at that word perform in its entirety here in the context, it simply means that he who promised also provides. Provides. Listen, when God promises you something, he provides. What do you mean he provides? Every day until what he has promised comes to pass, he keeps on making a way out of no way. He keeps on sustaining you. He keeps on walking with you, talking with you, encouraging you, and even carrying you until you have become persuaded that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, or you've seen enough of what he's done to know that he's going to do it, whether you see it on this side or the other side is done. You've got to remember, Abraham didn't see it all. But yet, he was fully persuaded. Why was he fully persuaded? Because when God told him that, he didn't have any children. At this point, he had one who was promised and one who was proof. Y'all catch that when you wake up. Ishmael was proof. But Isaac was promised. And when Isaac showed up, he said, well, since he done showed up, I know the rest are on their way. Whether he saw it in his lifetime or not, he was fully persuaded, convinced, convicted, concretely that God was going to do what he said he would do. And my brothers and sisters, God just wants us to get fully persuaded. And watch him, listen, watch him provide for us. Listen, until the performance is complete. The performance is complete. Not just the promise, but the performance of the promise. Promises are good, but how many know performances are better? Promises are wonderful, but performances is the conclusion and completion of the promise. God is not saying stuff he can't do. You have got to attach your faith to what God says and hold on until he performs it. And if, listen, if it is not his will in this lifetime to perform it on this side, then be at least completely, fully persuaded that he can. Somebody missed that right there. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And they wanted them to bow down to the image of the king. Did not make a request of any other gods other than the king for 30 days. But these boys had God in their hearts. And they knew the word of the Lord, and they would not bow. And when the music played, everybody bowed but them, and they were brought to the king. And the king said, let me explain how this go. I don't want to hurt you boys. But we've got a decree made out there. Now, when the music sounds, all you got to do is bow on down, and everything's going to be all right. They say, O king, live forever. I like the way they put that. We're not trying to be disrespectful to you. We honor you as our king, but we want you to understand that your kingship does not rise higher than our godship. And our commitment is to our God. But this is what they said that blew me away. They said, we don't think, but we know that our God is well able to deliver us. Listen to this. But if not, we still won't bow. Now listen to that conviction. Now that's not fully persuaded. You tell me what is. In the face of death, here the king is telling him, if you don't bow, you'll die. King got so mad, he heated the furnace up 7 times hotter than it ought to have been. It didn't bother the boys at all. Listen, they knew their God was well able, whether he did it or not. See, I think one of your biggest problems is disbelief. One of your biggest problems is disbelief because you don't believe he can do what he said he could do. You see, when you do not trust that God has the power to do what he said he'll do, the one who has created everything that is, and you doubt any simple thing, and anything to him, matter of fact, is simple. Because the record has already been made clear. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's nothing too hard for him. So when you begin to understand that there's nothing he can't do, then your faith, your most holy faith, begins to connect with God on a level that will bring you to a fully persuaded position.
Yes, sir.
And in that fully persuaded position, listen, he doesn't have to do it for you to be fully persuaded. You just know he can do it. And the joy floods on the inside of you. And every day is a day of expectation for you. And you begin to look for it. Why? Because you know he can and you believe he will. So verse 22 is a celebration because it says, and therefore imputed it to him for righteousness. This word imputed means several things. It comes from an accounting term. And one of the words means reckon. So, and therefore reckon it to him.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's LOBDELL Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do 3 things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
All right.